This chart on page 59, this is what you'd call a cold call. This chart that you're going to see here is a chart that I've never seen anything like it, and it's my creation. I'm not trying to be pompous here, but this chart works. And if you make phone calls, outbound phone calls like this, you can eat up records, you know, to the tune of, 100 a day or so. I don't think any employee should be held accountable for 100 calls outbound a day after day, although I have had some employees that did that. I had a guy that was, he was an animal. I mean, he got on the phone, man. He was like, "Pff." He never talked to anybody else. And, you know, I used to walk by and I'd be listening, just who the heck is he talking to, you know? And it was just one call after another to customers, which, you know, was unbelievable, actually. And he would come in at 8:30, get on the phone, he'd start making calls where everybody else would come in, they'd go get coffee, and they'd be, "How is your day?" You know, everybody would be kind of taking it easy a little bit, which I thought was fine, you know, because we're not running a sweatshop here, you know, it's, you know, but you got to do a decent day's work. I determined over a long period of time that the max number of calls that somebody could make in a day is 133, and I did that myself. I want to find out. So no interruptions, no phone calls, nothing. Just working all day long, one call after another. And I don't think you could do that on a regular basis. But I have had telemarketers in my employment. When I was at GE, when I was at GE, I read the Wall Street Journal. There was an article about Omaha, Nebraska, and that they made 50 million. It was three companies out there that made 50 million phone calls a year. So I went to my boss and I said, "You know what? I think we ought to buy records, and I think we ought to go out to Omaha, and we ought to have all these records called. And then we could set up a database, and then we could start mailing them stuff and emailing them and things like that. And we could, because we sold through distributors, so we didn't know where the end users were." So my boss said, "Hey, John, that's a great idea. Do it." So I first found a record source, you know, and bought all the records. There was 74,000 machine shops in the United States. This is a long time ago. And, you know, there could be, there's probably less now, but that's a lot of records, 74,000. And I went out to Omaha, Nebraska, hired a company. I paid them $150,000. They called all 74,000 records in a week. And they gave us a report. You know, they couldn't get to everybody, but they got to the lion's share of them, gave us a report, you know, and gave us all the records back in tables and in database table forms. That's how I started getting into databases. We're talking in the 80s. So I set up a database, sucked all this information in, and started learning, just like you, about Front Page. And learned a lot of databases and had all this information in there. And then, I made a presentation to the president of the company and others, and everybody said, "My God, this is really..." One thing we geocoded all these records. We took all 74,000 records by zip code and we put them on a map. And you could do it, just bingo. You geocode your database. MapPoint is a program, Arc Info is another. There's a lot of programs out there that you can just take a database, and it's already set up by area code, or a zip code, rather. Yeah, zip code, the five-digit zip code. So I just sucked this into a mapping program, and bingo, we found out, my God, look at all those machine shops down in Florida, which we didn't even have a guy within 300 miles of Florida. So we thought, my Lord, we ought to put some people down in Florida. So we went down there. We hired a guy in Florida. We went down, put some distributors. And I don't know, there's three guys down in Florida now. So, you know, the idea is, taking these records, calling them and so on was really valuable. So then we set up a department at GE, at our business, and we hired, hired three temporary people and started making phone calls. And, you know, before we hire them, I actually got a computer, got a phone set up, put a database in there, and I started making calls just to see what to do, you know. And then, I hired a temp to come in and do it, make the phone calls, and taught her what to do. Next thing you know, we got three. Then we hired three full-time employees to do this. And to my knowledge, they're still doing it. These people are calling all the time. That's their job, making phone calls. And that's how I know a lot about numbers and what to do and how to do it and so on and so forth. And this is the result of doing this over many years, at GE and then within my own company. And we don't make phone calls at Mitchell Selling Dynamics anymore. We used to do that for only for certain clients. You know, we had a good company, a good customer, and a customer would say, and when I'm talking about a good customer, I'm talking about a total partnership where I'm their, you know, let's say sales and marketing manager or whatever, you know, helping them. And, you know, say, man, we need to call some customers, you know, we need to do some, and, you know, they couldn't do it. So we did it for them, you know, and, you know, you get 1,000 records, and if you could make 100 calls a day, it's only 10 days, and you got all 1,000 records called. Not a big deal. We know how to do it, but, you know, not doing that anymore. I mean, it's just not the business that we're in. So, but this is the kind of thing that we used to implement. When most people don't know anything about selling, when they make a phone call, they call up the company and they say, my name is Melissa Minkin and I'm calling from Lyle Industries. In my view, that is a serious mistake.